There's an ongoing concern about the relative safety and security of senior citizens, and that concern heightens over time as society grows older. There simply are more senior citizens over time, with the earliest of the baby boom kids turning 68 this year. Protecting seniors from financial abuse will be the main focus of a symposium coming to the Reading area on February 28th. This hour gives us a chance to learn more about the issues and to learn more about the Shasta County Gatekeeper Program, designed to put more eyes and ears on vulnerable seniors. Three guests join us in this hour. Roberto D'Amico is with Adult Protective Services in Shasta County. Roberto, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Joanne McCarley is with us. She's a certified geriatric care manager at Compass Shining Care. Joanne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Colleen Nelson's here as well, also from Compass Shining Care. She is the Gatekeeper Program Coordinator. Colleen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and good morning.
So let's go through past each of you in turn, and just, I mean, for the benefit of folks who may not be aware of all that goes on at the places that you work, let's start with Adult Protective Services in Shasta County, Roberto D'Amico. You're responsible for primarily what through that agency?
Well, we receive reports of suspected elder or dependent adult abuse that are called in either by people who are mandated reporters or just a concerned citizen, family member. We field about 1,600 calls per month. I'm sorry, 1,600 calls per year, and I should say reports, and investigate those to determine whether there in fact is actually something that's going on that requires intervention, and then we would provide interventions with the families. We are not able to provide ongoing case management. That's one of the limitations of the way we're set up statewide in California, is that we are supposed to do short-term interventions, hook the individuals up with resources in the community, and then move on. So sometimes people are really needing more of a long-term case management. We need to find other resources for that.
So it's more triage then, it sounds like, matching them up with services and then going on to the next case.
That's correct.
The 1,600 calls a year you mentioned, how many of those generally end up founded, these reports of abuse in Shasta County?
It's usually about 30% that are confirmed, and just slightly over that, that were found to be totally unfounded. And then 38%, just looking at the last couple years, 38% were inconclusive. A lot of times it's really difficult to determine whether something happened or not. The person that the report is made on often is not cooperative or, is trying to protect someone. It could be a family member that they're trying to protect, and sometimes it's very difficult to determine whether, in fact, a person has been a victim of abuse or not.
What is usually the basis of a complaint to Adult Protective Services? Does it tend to be one thing more than any other, and is that category growing over time?
Well, about 30% is financial abuse, and then neglect and mental or emotional abuse are each about 16%. Physical abuse is about 8%. The numbers of everything are increasing, and the complexity, the seriousness of the cases are also increasing.
For that matter, is the number of seniors increasing perhaps ahead of the rest of the population in Shasta County, given that it's a relatively decent place to live with mild winters and not too high a standard of living?
It is. I mean, in addition to the fact that the senior population is growing so rapidly nationwide, it is a popular retirement location, so we do have a lot of seniors coming in.
All right. A story in many other corners of our region as well, since it is a nice place to live and a good place to retire. Joanne McCarley, would you tell us about Compass Shining Care and what it's all about?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, we are a local private nonprofit agency, and I'm the director and founder, and really our passion and our mission here is to just help to fill in the gaps in services that are already existing in our community. Fortunately, there are a lot of great services like Adult Protective Services and others. However, with this great need that we were just talking about, there's still gaps. And so we're here to, be that link to those services and then provide what's missing in between. And so we have a number of services that we offer that are free and on a sliding scale basis.
And what are those services?
One of the big, real important things that we do is an assessment, a risk assessment, which is, you know, most families, elders, they know something's changed, they know things aren't going right, but they're not sure what to do. Are we overreacting? Are we underreacting? There's usually a lot of confusion and fear. So our job is to do what we call a strengths-based assessment, which is really to identify first what they're still able to do, all the things that are in place that are safe, acknowledge those things, and then objectively kind of help point out what's putting the person at risk, what might be preventing health and safety, and quality of life, and identifying those needs in a way that they can look at it, and beyond that, telling them what resources are available to meet those needs and giving them solutions. Often there's, you know, if there is a family member involved to help, they can take that and say, thank you, I now know what to do, and they can go forward. It's like a little roadmap for them to follow. Often that's still overwhelming. So then we have our care management services, which is that case management that Roberta was referring to.
Okay, let's pick up that on the
really
other side of the break. We need to take a short break here. We're
going
to talk more with Joanne McCarley, Colleen Nelson, and Roberto D'Amico. We're talking about the care of senior citizens as they get more vulnerable, with particular emphasis on senior financial abuse and the Gatekeepers program in Shasta County. Back with this discussion and your phone calls and emails on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please pardon the voice. It doesn't sound good, but it doesn't feel bad. We are talking today about senior financial abuse and the Gatekeepers program, both focuses of a symposium coming to the Reading area on February 28th. We're talking to Roberto D'Amico at Adult Protective Services in Shasta County, Joanne McCarley and Colleen Nelson from Compass Shining Care. Colleen Nelson is the coordinator of the Gatekeeper program, which we'll learn more about as we move ahead. Join us on the Exchange as we talk about issues facing seniors and their vulnerability in society as society ages. We are graying in America. Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Joanne McCarley, I want to come back to you. The sorts of things that Compass Shining Care does as a private nonprofit, are these services that were once provided by a government agency and are no longer? Or what? I mean, who used to provide these sorts of services?
Right. And some of them are funded through, government, through Area Agency on Aging. But they are income eligible. They have an income eligibility. So if someone's not Medi-Cal eligible, they may not qualify. The program's called Multi-Senior Services Program, MSSP. And because of the big need, even if someone does qualify, often there's a long waiting list for those services. And so, again, we're trying to, you know, rise up and help meet the need for those folks who are waiting and still yet need those services. Because they can't wait in many cases. And a lot of it is preventative in nature. In other words, identifying what's putting the person at risk and putting a solution in place to prevent a fall or prevent a medication error or malnutrition, all of the things that put a senior at risk.
And are you generally dealing with people who are still living independently?
Fire.
I'm sorry, you're
yes.
still generally, yeah, Lindy, they're still living independently.
Most are. Most are living in their own homes, and that's what the Gatekeeper program is about, too. It's about reaching these folks who are living in the community in a home of their own. They may even have a roommate, but they're not connected to a trusted person that's really looking out for them that can help them connect to services. That's why we have the Gatekeeper program. We're so excited to have the Gatekeeper program because we'll talk more about it, but it provides a means for people to find us, and then we can then connect them to what they need.
So, Colleen Nelson, there's a bit of a delay here. I want to bring Colleen Nelson in now because Colleen is the Gatekeeper Program Coordinator. Tell us about how the Gatekeepers got started there, Colleen.
Well, a few years back in 2011, Joanne had applied for this program through the Shasta County Health and Human Services. And so we competed against it with quite a few others here in our county, and we were awarded it. And we brought it in. Pretty much, it, you know, what we do on a daily basis works real well with the Gatekeeper program. And so it wasn't much of a step up for us to provide this to the community. So we've been working at it since 2011, and it's been a very successful program reaching out there to our community.
So who are the Gatekeepers, and what do they do, Colleen?
Our Gatekeepers are our local businesses, we say non-traditional providers. So when you look at non-traditional, we're thinking, you know, those that aren't their geriatric physicians, you know, people that primarily are in senior care. So we're looking at non-traditional, and that could be your grocery clerk, that could be your bank teller, your postman, the favorite waitress at the cafe.
So basically people who are going to see the senior on a regular basis. I mean, they might see him even on a daily basis and know when something was different.
Exactly. If you take a beautician, she knows what Mrs. Smith looks like when she comes in and gets her hair done every week, knowing that she does her makeup, her hair is impeccable, she looks great, her clothes are clean, and she will be that one that starts noticing when she comes in and her, you know, she's got food stains maybe in her hair and she's not speaking much, and, you know, she's starting to do that decline. She would definitely notice that. And for her, that beautician to be trained as a Gatekeeper is our hope all over Shasta County, is to have those folks trained. They would contact us with that referral to help that senior get connected to the programs that are needed to keep them healthy and safe.
So are the Gatekeeper program people, the people that you're trying to focus on there, are they people who are not yet necessarily using the services of Compass Shining Care, but may in the future, and therefore they're in essence, you're keeping an eye on them to make sure that they don't need the services right now, and when they do, you're there for them?
Right, yes. And it's really, you know, and it's not just what Compass Shining Care is going to do. It's really if they need connection to any type of service. It might even be what we call a generic service, like they need a new handyman or a new yard service person, and they may be out trying to take care of their yard and putting themselves at risk because they don't know who to call. It can be really anything that's going to help keep them safe and living as independently as possible. And our job is to identify what's needed and get them connected so that they have the right kind of support and assistance.
Roberto D'Amico at Adult Protective Services, we've already established that quite a few bits of our region are attractive places to retire to. Do we have a lot of seniors living in Shasta County and elsewhere in the region who would appear to be living fairly far from extended family or even children?
We do. There are a lot of people in Shasta County that either they have moved here, or the family has moved away, and we very often find that our victims of abuse have family members in other states that are not particularly available. Sometimes, unfortunately, the families have broken down, and even though the client can identify a family member, they can't identify a family member that's interested and caring and ready to get involved in trying to help them out of a given situation. And unfortunately, sometimes the alleged abuser, the person that's actually creating the problem, is a family member, and we're actually trying to protect an elderly, vulnerable person from a family member that's taking advantage of their situation.
Let us take.
So there's really quite a variety of situations.
All right, let's take a phone call. Here's Doug in Casper. I'm not sure which Casper we're talking about here, but welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Roberto D'Amico, Joanne McCarley, and Colleen Nelson.
Oh, hi. It's Casper, California. I'm just calling to give an example of financial abuse. I used to host a show on PBS out of San Diego called Senior Speak Out. It targeted the audience 50 and over, which was then and is ignored by commercial television. I produced a segment on what was called peer counseling, a program that was started in Santa Monica, California, and about a year later, Hugh Downs covered it for 2020, and it's now a national program. And I just coincidentally, a couple years ago, I actually became a peer counselor myself. The first client I had was a gentleman who was retired, widower, somewhat isolated, and he could not resist the scams that said he had won $1 million. And all he had to do was send in $26 for a fee application to receive his reward. And at one time, his whole checking account had been cleaned out because of the information he gave out. And I tried to convince him that these were scams, and I showed him all the different ones in the mail that were the same thing, and it was always a fee. And he just would not accept what my logic was, and he continued to do it. Eventually, we had to turn him over to Adult Protective Services. It was a very, very sad situation. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, Doug. Yeah. By the way, Casper, if you're wondering, is in Mendocino County, south of Fort Bragg. Roberto, would you take that one on, please?
Yes. Unfortunately, we do see that quite a bit, and I think that there's several reasons why seniors can be more vulnerable to that type of thing. One of the reasons is that they've discovered some actual changes in the brain functioning, in the part of the brain that makes us able to critically evaluate what's being told to us, kind of the skepticism,
mm-hmm.
a part of the brain that diminishes with age. Also, if we think about our seniors, our people in their 70s and 80s, they were growing up in the 40s, 50s, and the early part of the 60s, completely different world that they were living in terms of trust, and so they're just not as they're not as skeptical, as cynical, as cautious as some of us currently are. And then also a lot of times, particularly as we were talking about, if they don't have family in the area, maybe a lot of their friends have already died off or have moved on. A lot of them are very lonely and bored. And so somebody hooks up with them, and they show some personal interest in them, even if it's someone calling over the telephone, and get them engaged in this exciting thing. You're about to become fabulously wealthy. All you have to do is send these, pay your taxes up front, you know, send us $2,000, and then, well, there's this processing fee, send us this. And you can get one person just continually sending out more and more money, thinking that, okay, now as soon as I send this last $10,000, that, you know, $5 million is going to show up in my account. And it can be very difficult to get across to them that they are truly being scammed.
We are talking about vulnerable senior citizens, senior financial abuse, and the Gatekeepers Program in Shasta County with Roberto D'Amico, who's with Adult Protective Services in Shasta County. Joanne McCarley and Colleen Nelson are with Compass Shining Care. Colleen Nelson is the coordinator for the Gatekeepers Program. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you've got some examples of ways in which people try to take advantage of you or a senior loved one. Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Roberta, you anticipated a question there beautifully, which was our capacity as we age for being skeptical about things we used to be skeptical about. So we're square on that one. But there's got to be some issue, too, with the complexity of the things that are out there as well. When you're getting bombarded with messages all the time, I mean, some of them really make it look like the money's just waiting there for you. All you have to do is contact us.
They do. And, you know, all of us are our targets, these people, these unscrupulous people. But there is just an array, and every time that we get the word out on one particular type of scam, they come up with something new. It just seems unending. But, you know, even the ones that seems like we've all heard about, you know, like the grandparent getting called by the grandson who's stuck in some Mexican jail or whatever, it's still working. I mean, last year we had up in the Intermountain area, we had three different seniors within the course of about a month that all got hit and either lost money or went into the bank, and the banker talked them out of taking their money out and wiring. because they just weren't knowledgeable about that particular scam and went ahead and fell for it.
Which raises the question, Colleen Nelson, if bankers are among the primary people you've got involved in the Gatekeepers program.
Yes, we do. We've been working really hard with that one, and that's one of the reasons for the symposium, was to reach out to all the banks and bring them in and let them hear how they can assist their consumers.
And tell us about the training then for Gatekeepers, because I'm just curious to know how long it goes on, what sort of subjects are covered, and also how many people you've got who are trained and in the Gatekeeper program at this point.
Sure. Right now, we have over 121 Gatekeeper businesses and organizations trained. We have over 1,300 individuals trained here in Shasta County. So we reach out to our businesses in the community, social groups, anyone that has our older adult consumers, and we get them trained. We train them. It usually takes about a good solid hour. We have APS usually come with us and get them a good foundation on how to recognize the warning signs that are putting the seniors at risk. We talk about how to actively listen and communicate with them, especially those with dementia. It's hard to get them sometimes to accept that help. And so we train them of how to communicate, you know, with someone with dementia.
And so
do you have anything to add there?
No, other than we help them understand it's that trusted relationship. I think a big barrier for community members to reach out is the kind of a fear of, well, it's not my business. I don't want to overstep my boundaries. And with the Gatekeeper training, we help them understand that actually, no, it is appropriate. It's really needed. And they're protected legally. There's no liability associated with it. And they might just be that one lifeline that makes a difference. So we give them those tools to be able to reach out and help that elder consumer in just the regular course of their business. And they're actually thrilled. All the people we talk to, it doesn't matter what profession they're in, carpet cleaner to bank teller, they're thrilled because they all have their stories about certain consumers they have that they're so worried about and they've been spending a lot of time with but just didn't know how to help them. So it's actually helping the businesses as well.
Let's take a call. We have Priscilla in Neyland, California. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Joanne McCarley, Colleen Nelson, and Roberto D'Amico.
Hi. I must say I really appreciate your program that gives me so much useful information.
Well,
anyway, I had a question about whether living in a living-assisted program would help with people who are vulnerable to that sort of a scam.
Well, being in an assisted living facility, the advantage it has is that there's people that are actively involved in your life, so it removes a lot of that the loneliness factor. And you know, one of the things that we try to get people to do is to talk to a trusted person anytime that before they're going to make any kind of financial decision. And so in that kind of setting, you automatically have people that are readily available that you can talk to and ask questions. So it does help. At the same time, regrettably, about 90% of financial abuse occurs by a trusted friend or a family member. So even though someone's in an assisted living, they still are not, they're not immune. I want to say that there still are, you know, trusted friends, family members that may have them sign a power of attorney or give them access to their ATM card, PIN number. That still can happen even in that situation. But it's certainly far preferable to having a vulnerable elder isolated.
Roberto, are the laws very clear on when it actually becomes financial abuse and actionable in a court of law, or is it still kind of a gray area where people are saying, well, it's not abuse, she's my mom, you know, that sort of thing?
Well, part of the problem that, and you know, it'll be interesting at the symposium because one of our speakers is going to be a district attorney that's specialized in this type of thing. But one of the problems that we run into a lot of times is that the victim themselves, because it's, let's say, their son that's done it, is not willing to take criminal action against that person. Sometimes they're not even willing to acknowledge to APS that it even occurred. But even if they are, a lot of times they will say, "Yeah, it happened, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to press charges. I don't want anything to happen to him." So that can make it very difficult. But I think if you can establish the facts, then I think that it is pretty clear when someone is taking an individual's money, and even if that money, they're managing that money for the person's care, if that money goes into some other expense for their own personal gain rather than in care, then that would be abuse.
Much more to talk about senior financial abuse and the Gatekeeper program in Shasta County and ways to perhaps affect change to prevent senior financial abuse. Roberto D'Amico, Joanne McCarley, Colleen Nelson, our guests. We'll be back with them and back with your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us. We'll return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Please pardon the voice. It's just laryngitis. It doesn't hurt. We're talking today about senior financial abuse, ways to prevent that, and the Gatekeeper program in Shasta County involved in that very sort of thing. All part of a preview of a symposium about senior financial abuse coming to Anderson on the 28th of February. Our guests will be at that symposium. Roberto D'Amico is with Adult Protective Services in Shasta County. Joanne McCarley is a certified geriatric care manager at Compass Shining Care. Colleen Nelson is at Compass Shining Care as well and is the Gatekeeper Program Coordinator. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you have some stories about people you've seen taken advantage of when they were elder and vulnerable, and ways that people have found to prevent those incidences. Join us at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Joanne McCarley, it just seems to me that the individual circumstances are going to be as different as the individuals themselves. But is there any set of ballpark figures in time by which we can assume if somebody's starting to show signs of decline in mental acuity that, you know, X amount of time, they're probably going to need more assisted care?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think that as soon as, you know, we begin to notice any type of decline, excuse me, I have a frog in my throat today, too.
going around.
that it's good to address it right away. My dad's in his 90s, and he always said an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's that little bit of assistance in the front end that can prevent big issues from happening. And, you know, with memory loss, so often it's treatable. Sometimes we just think, well, it's old age and there's nothing that can be done. But often, you know, with an assessment, we can discover that actually there's some sleep disorder or there's something happening with a medication or something with nutrition. And a lot of times when we can just recognize and kind of face, well, there's a change, let's look at it and see, we can do an early intervention. And there can be an immediate solution. And again, that helps people stay independent. So I hope that answered the question.
How extensive is it, though, to try to walk through the possibilities that you just mentioned, though? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out if there are the people and there's the time available and the dollars, I suppose, too, to be able to go through that kind of assessment.
Yeah, that is the challenge for sure. You know, over the years, we've been doing this since 1996, and we have some, you know, good training and experience under our belts. So we've learned how to be pretty efficient. But depending on how complex the situation is, it does take some time to really discover. You know, for us, if we have 30 days of really getting to know the person and doing our different assessments, we do a fall risk assessment. We do memory screenings. We do depression assessments, or home safety evaluation. There are a lot of things that can be very helpful. Those things do take time, and so that is our challenge. That's why here at Shining Care, we're trying to be creative. We have our tea house
that we've opened, Grace Place Tea House, as a means to help fund our program, because there isn't the funding for that. Unfortunately, with the Gatekeeper program, the majority of our funding is for the education piece and equipping the community and the businesses to recognize the risk and connect us. And very little of the money went to the actual services portion of it, which is the assessment and the care planning and care management piece. So that's a challenge, but we're doing it, and we're hoping to, you know, continue educating community members. There are people that want to help. So even if there's not a family member that can step up to the plate, oftentimes there's a neighbor or a volunteer that can help meet the need. And so that's what we're here to do, is to help facilitate that as creatively as we can. And it's working. We're finding that we have been able to effectively step in alongside the elder and come up with a plan to kind of get them back on the right track.
Colleen Nelson, the Gatekeeper Program Coordinator, you had mentioned that it's really businesses that take part in the Gatekeeper Program right now. What sort of vetting, background checks, anything in addition to the training go into just assessing the quality of the people who are participating?
As far as the background, you mean for our businesses out there, we don't do a background check with them, if I'm understanding your question.
You are.
Okay. No, the businesses, you know, we trust in them. They've been working in the community for some time. And we go out to each business and communicate with them and talk with them to see what, you know, what their consumers are. If there's older adult consumers, we encourage. Go ahead, Joanne.
Well, yeah, I just want to just say that we're not asking them to do the assessment piece. We're not asking them to really figure out what the problem is or intervene beyond what their regular course of business is, and that's why we wouldn't need to background check them. What we're doing is we're just equipping them to they're already that trusted person to the senior in their capacity. So if it's a bank teller, then they're not stepping out of their boundaries of what they're already doing. We're just saying, hey, recognize the need and quickly link them to us. And we, of course, have all of our team is fingerprinted, and we work closely with all of the agencies, and we're trusted. So then we can step in alongside and help. And so hopefully that addresses your question, and that's why there wouldn't be a need for any background check on our gatekeepers.
Now, the program is completely transparent and obvious to the seniors, I would think. I mean, they're aware that when they enter a business, it probably says we're part of the Gatekeeper program, et cetera. So, I mean, they wouldn't be surprised if suddenly they were approached by somebody from Compass Shining Care who said, you know, somebody at the bank is concerned about you.
Right. That's a really good point, because it's all consent-based. And that's one of the questions that our, you know, our gatekeepers have when we give the training, because they don't want to overstep their bounds, and they say, well, how do we do this? And it's very upfront. It's really, you know, again, that gatekeeper is that trusted person reaching out and saying, hey, Mrs. Smith, you know, I'm concerned for you. I'm seeing a change, and I have some friends. I know these folks that can be helpful, and I'd really love to connect you to them. And, you know, can we call together now? And if not, then, you know, they'll at least, you know, get permission to give them information, and they get the permission, and then we can call and follow up. So it's not like a surprise visit, or it's really important that we honor the elders, and it can be a scary time, and we understand that. And so this is really about us wanting to be helpful and not come in and disrupt their lives and take away any of their control or anything like that. It's really very much just, you know, we're here as a resource to you, and we want you to stay independent if that's your goal, and you know, we have some great resources for you. And usually they're very receptive. And like Roberta was saying, often many are very lonely. And so to have another friend really makes a big difference, to feel like, you know, there's another group of people that care about me and are now involved in my life to the extent that I want them to be.
Right. Somebody says hello when I'm here and notices when I'm not here, that kind of thing.
Right.
You mentioned 121 business members in the Gatekeeper organization. If you had your druthers, how big would it be? How big should it be? I mean, what would you like to get to in terms of businesses participating?
Well, we would love to see every business Gatekeeper trained because, you know, the need is so great. And now, I do say that with a little bit of trepidation because we would need to be able to rise up and meet the need with all those referrals, but I'd rather deal with that problem than to know that there are still people out there disconnected and isolated and being taken advantage of financially. And so we're doing everything we can to educate as many people as possible.
All right. It was mentioned earlier, I think, by Colleen about the general realm of people thinking, well, this isn't really my business. So, Roberto D'Amico, if somebody thinks that they are witnessing a symptom of elder financial abuse, what is the right way to go about things to make it clear that they have concerns? Who do they express those concerns to?
Well, they can call directly to the county reporting line. Now, in our county, that's 225-5798. That's Shasta County. But every county has adult protective services. They have a hotline that's ready to receive those reports. And I always encourage people, if in doubt, just go ahead and call. If it doesn't rise to the level of being something that we're going to investigate, it certainly didn't hurt to call and talk about it. But in most cases, we are going to make contact with that client. We're going to look into the situation, and you know, I'd rather investigate two reports that turn out to be unfounded, and only one that is a real thing, than to have people not report and we miss that one, in order to avoid the two that were unfounded, because that one person may be in dire need of help, and the only way we're going to know is if people call in and report any concerns that they have. With financial abuse, some of the things that you can tend to see, you'll see someone that has always been current with bills and they start to fall behind. Maybe their power gets shut off and you're going, wow, that's not like them. You know, what happened there? Or a financial institution, a lot of times will get a call because there's been a large sum of money that's been transferred, or large purchases where someone has been conservative with their spending and has savings that they've held on to for quite a long time, all of a sudden it starts going. Or someone will come in and you know, get them to co-sign on a loan, or they'll see someone coming in with a card, you know, an ATM card, and accessing funds. So there's things that either a bank or really anybody could observe, and just, if you're concerned, just give us a call and we'll look into it.
That example that Roberto just gave, Colleen, prompts the question about whether the utility companies are part of the Gatekeeper program as well.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Well, but you know, the power getting shut off, that sort of thing.
Yes. She was preparing some information, so she missed her question, but I heard you. And so, yes, we are working with the utility companies. And one of the things we identify is, financial troubles. And there are lots of resources available to assist. For example, even locally here, we have a program called Power to Seniors, where there can be some assistance in getting your bill paid if you've run behind. You know, it's not uncommon for us to hear about a senior making a difficult choice, a choice they really shouldn't make, which is like, you know, am I going to pay for my medications or am I going to run my heater when it's 20 degrees? They're making those choices. So our job then is to get in there and work with the companies that they have established and see what, you know, what they can do, and then get them connected to programs. We still have some inroads to make with some of the businesses, helping them understand. I don't know that we have actually trained our PG&E yet, and some of those. Yeah, we're still trying to get jump through the hoops and get to the right people and some of those larger companies to get in the door, because those are folks that really need this Gatekeeper training.
Well, we've certainly established that there is an issue with senior financial abuse. We talk about it actually fairly often on the Jefferson Exchange, and there is this Elder Financial Exploitation Symposium coming up, put on, Roberto, by your group at Shasta County Adult Protective Services on the 28th of February. But it raises the question then, I mean, are we looking at the growth of a whole industry, I mean, a real underworld sort of industry dedicated to relieving seniors of their life savings?
Well, I think that there really is that, and again, I would say that they're targeting all of us, but seniors are particularly good targets. They're vulnerable. The reasons I mentioned before, they're more susceptible, and that symposium actually is, we're co-sponsoring it. The two organizations, Gatekeepers and Adult Protective Services, but I think that really is true, that there are these people that's their vocation, is to spend all their time doing this. But again, I just have to say that they are not the only ones that are separating elders from their finances. There's also individual people that befriend, if you put that in quotes, a vulnerable, lonely elder and relieve them of their money, move into the home with them, get them to, you know, put down payments on a vehicle or actually buy a vehicle when that senior is no longer driving. This kind of thing is happening fairly frequently. And, you know, one statistic I saw recently was that they figure only about 1 in 44 cases of abuse are actually reported. So, you know, we have our estimates of, you know, the how pervasive the effect is, but only about 1 in 44 is reported. So we're really encouraging people, if you're concerned, give us a call.
That is a shocking number, 1 in 44. And thanks for providing that. Roberto D'Amico's with Adult Protective Services in Shasta County. Joanne McCarley and Colleen Nelson with Compass Shining Care. Colleen is the Gatekeeper Program Coordinator. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
You bet. Good to have you all.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the Jefferson Exchange, we'll talk about Asante's plan for Ashland Community Hospital at 8 o'clock. At 8:30, we'll talk to the folks at Travel Oregon about the expansion of the bike-friendly business program. 9 o'clock, we'll meet once again with Max Strom to talk about his latest book, There Is No App for Happiness. That's all tomorrow on the Exchange. Our producer and today's engineer, Charlotte Duren, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Join us again tomorrow at 8 for another edition of the Jefferson Exchange, and have a great day.